That was beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, good evening, everybody. All right, let's try it again. Good evening, everybody. There you go. You're here. All right. We're here. Yay. Right? Yay. Ah, there you go. I don't know. It's kind of nice. All right. I'm excited. All right. I haven't got to do a lot of this since March, except in my house staring at a camera. And there's no one on the, I don't know who's on the other side. And I'm hoping somebody besides my mother is on the other side. But you never know, you know. And so you're just like, Lord, you know, will you take it? Will you do something with it? So for those of you who have no clue who I am, let me just give you just a really quick rundown. It's fairly boring, so I'll make it quick. But my name is Reba, and I do run Dare for More Ministries. I started, man, first few years of my career was nowhere near this. I started off as a women's college basketball coach and a professor. So, wow, right? And the Lord just kind of guided my path, and I began to work with discipleship with young college-age girls. That led into more and more and more, and the next thing you know, I was speaking. Dare for More was born shortly after that. And I've been now, good night, it seems like I can't be as old as I am. Do you ever have that feeling? Like, you know, I there's no way I'm this old. What happened? But doesn't seem like I can be as old as I am. But man, I've been, doing ministry now for almost 30 years. And it just seems like it just goes by so fast. It just goes by so quickly. And so God's been good though. And we started our ministry to minister just like we're doing tonight, all throughout the United States, to women who were mostly believers, but man, I loved it when they'd bring their friends with them who were not, as we attended women's events and were able just to pour into people and love on people. And then about 7 years ago, I got an invitation to come to the Dominican Republic to speak, and anytime you're invited to the Caribbean, you go. Okay? You go. So I went. And I'll share a whole lot more about that later. I'm not going to take the time tonight to get into that. But God used that to open our eyes to the crisis that women were having around the globe. And I'll be honest with you, I was really nicely, softly protected in my little USA, go to the store, don't worry about anything, bubble. And but I began to realize that most women around the world do not live in that same comfort. They do not live with that same freedom. And there is a crisis for women globally and little girls. And so we stepped into that crisis. And we work with women who have been rescued and restored as we work with them from human trafficking, from abuse, from crisis. And so I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But you can come by the table and see us. We're kind of in that area where you checked in at. And you will see purses and bags and jewelry all there. All of that is made by a woman who's been rescued. And that's what all that's about. And I'll tell you a whole lot more about that as we go into it. But tonight, we just kind of want to jump in. Because I want to ask you a question as we start. Are you hungry? And I think you know what I mean. I'm not saying, you know, do we need to stop and go to Taco Bell? That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, are we hungry for God to do something in us? In us. You know, we just a few weeks ago, we celebrated 9/11, and I think that most of us in this room remember 9/11 vividly. We remember where we were at, and we remember what we were doing when we got the word that someone had flown a plane into the towers, and then as we all stood there, just mind-boggled over the next few hours as we watched one tower after the next tower fall, and New York City flip upside down, okay? And, you know, we had heard about terrorism before 9/11, right? Yeah. But it was somebody else's problem. You with me? It was somebody else's problem. And so we knew about it. We had heard of it. And, you know, I'm from the South, so bless their hearts. But it wasn't in our back door. And we were grateful. Until they flew two planes into the World Trade Center. And then it came to our doorstep. And then it came to right into our country. And guess what? We responded. Whether we were ready or not, I don't know, but we responded. We recovered and we responded. Now, you say, Reba, why'd you take us on a little reminder of 9/11? Because it's time for the church to respond. It's time. We've heard about the crisis in other parts of the world. You with me? We've heard about the underground church. We've heard about real persecution. While we define persecution as somebody got my seat last Sunday. But in some ways, it's coming to our shores. And it's time that the lights went on in the house of God. It's time that the lights went on. The world is getting dark. Have you noticed? It's getting darker. But you know what that means? That means that little song that the kids sing in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You know what that means? It means it's getting brighter. It's getting brighter. And I'm so glad to know that I do not serve a God who's buried in a tomb. I do not serve a God who has a memorial plaque somewhere for where He worked and where He lived and what He did while He was here on earth. But we have a living Savior who is sitting today on the throne of God, and He is not doing this. Oh, it's looking rough down there. He is not. At just the sound from His voice, this world came into being. And I can promise you, He can and He will speak again. But He's left us here. I haven't heard a trumpet yet. Okay? We're in the waiting. So that means we still have a job to do. You have a job and I have a job. But here's my concern. Are we ready as a United States of America church? And when I say church, I understand we talk about places, the one we're in, right? But I'm talking about the body of Christ. Is the body of Christ in the United States of America, are we ready? It's a great question. But guess what? Tonight, I'm not speaking to the United States of America. I'm speaking to us. So tonight we get really personal. Because you know, it's so easy to go, yeah, bunch of heathens out there. I don't think they're ready. It's really easy to do that, right? And for you to say, are you ready? Oh, well, don't get personal now. Don't get in my business. I want to offer you some of the most encouraging words this weekend that I think are in Scripture. We are going to study through Romans chapter 8. Where God says, we are more than conquerors. We are. That's what God said. And He does not lie. That means that we are. But I'll be honest with you, there's times I don't feel like a conqueror. I definitely don't feel like more than a conqueror. I'm not even sure what that means on some days. What is a more than a conqueror? Well, we're going to walk into that tomorrow. And Saturday morning, we're going to walk through Romans 8. And we're going to understand what these powerful verses are teaching us about what it looks like to walk victorious in Christ Jesus. Does anybody desire that? Anybody with me on that? You know, would you like to live a victorious life? I promise you, it may not be what you think it is. Because see, to have a victory, you must have a fight. You must have a battle. If you have no battles and you have no fights and you have no war and there is no victory. Okay? We're just kind of gliding along. And drift is such an easy thing for all of us to do. I read a story that I just thought was so amusing. Several years ago, a young college student was on break from school. She lived down in Gulf Coast, Alabama, down in the Gulf Shores area. And man, she was so excited to be home, and the weather was getting warmer, and she just was tired. She said, man, I just want a day at the beach. So she gathered her gear together. She went down. She got her float all blown up. And her float had one of those little cup holders on it. And she put her cup in this one. And it had another one over here. And she put her cell phone in that one. And she put her earbuds in. And she turned on the music. And she put her sunglasses on. And she got in the water. And she fell asleep. This is a true story. She fell asleep. And she woke up about an hour later, 2.5 miles away from where she started. Fortunately for her, the cell phone was in this cup holder. And she was able to pull it out, and she was able to call for help, and they sent the Coast Guard to get her, and they were able to get her and pick her up. And, you know, and she'll have a story to tell her children and grandchildren for years to come about the day Mom drifted 2.5 miles. But you know, that's the thing about drift. You get in there and you just get comfortable. And you just get comfortable. And what you don't realize is that you're slowly moving away from the very place that you need to be. And so I want us tonight to inspect, before we get to Romans 8, before we more than a conqueror, we got to make sure that we're actually ready for the battle. We have to make sure that we're engaged. You with me? And if we're in neutral and we're drifting, what I want to say is, it's time to wake up. It's time. It's time to wake up. It's time the church arises. It is time God's people let their light shine. It's time. It's always been time, I will tell you that. But today is today, and it is time. And so I want us today, as we start into this tonight, I want us to take a little inspection, if you would. A little examination of our hearts and our lives, because it's important before we get to the more than the conqueror Romans 8 passages and we walk through that, it's really important that we know where we're at. Where are we? And so I want to ask you that question. When it comes to you and your walk with God, where are you? Where are you? And I want you to think about that for a minute. Where am I? Because I'm going to tell you, He's the only answer to the problems that you face and that I face and this world faces. He's the only one that will bring victory. He's the only one that can take us through the dark hour. He's the only one. And so this is the most important question you can ask yourself right now. Where am I when it comes to my walk with God right now? And so I hope you came hungry. I hope you came not just, boy, I need something from God, but I need God to start working on me. And I'm willing, if He'll show me, to be obedient to what He shows me. Because if you ask, He's going to show you. Because I'm with Brother Harold. I just think God still speaks. And if you're not hearing Him lately, it may be because you're like the kid. I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. Why does a kid do that? Because they don't want to be held responsible for what they're getting ready to hear. Right? I don't, go clean your room. I can't hear you. Why? Because I don't want to go clean my room. And sometimes we're not hearing from God because we don't want to hear from Him. Because we're afraid of what He's going to say. And I'm going to tell you, if that's your feeling tonight, you've got God all wrong. You don't have your view of God correct. And let's just pray this weekend that God gives us a right view of who He is. Because a right view of who He is will give us a right view of how, where everything else should fall. Get the view that we have of Him out of sync and off. Get it blurry. Get it messed up. Get Him totally out of focus. And I can promise you, your life will be the very same. It really will be. So, here's some things we need to know. And then what I want you to do is turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then if you want to, you can find Ephesians 6 and just put a piece of paper there or stick your finger there, or you can go there in just a minute, whatever you want to do. But we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in just a minute. But there's some things we need to know. Okay? What do we need to know? As we begin to step into this, as we begin to take a little pulse check in our own spiritual lives, in our own hearts, I think there'll be a few things that'll be important before we read these verses. First of all, this is something you just need to know. The world is broken. You with me?
Yes.
I get we live in the United States and we have it pretty cushy on a lot of days. But I'm just going to tell you, the world is broken. One of our safe houses just brought in 2 4-year-olds. That's not the first 4-year-olds we've got. I think we have 5 4-year-olds right now. In a safe house. In another part of the world. A 4-year-old. The world is broken. The world is broken. You say, well, Reba, why is it important for us to know that? Well, because I think getting the biblical lens on and getting the perspective right is important for us before we step into these next verses. Because here's the thing, it's not going to get better. That, according to God's Word, I've heard a lot of people talking about Jesus coming lately. It's been kind of funny. It's like nobody thinks about Jesus is coming. And now all of a sudden, it's like we got a pandemic and people are like, I think Jesus is it. Is this it? Are we going? Is this it? Where's Daniel? Is he saying anything in there about a pandemic? Where's... I'm just going to tell you, the Bible's clear. Romans 1 is clear. Scripture's clear. It gets worse and worse the closer we come to His appearing. So don't be shocked that it's going to get worse. Can't believe it. I just can't believe it. It's just horrible. The Word of God says it was going to get bad. So if you're really thinking, ooh, this could be any moment now, well, then you should expect it to get bad. Because the Bible says as we get closer to His appearing, it will get worse and worse. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Son of Man returns. Men were eating and drinking and ignoring there was a God, and ignoring that there was a warning. Get in the ark. And that's what the Bible tells us. And you say, well, Reba, why is it important we know that? Perspective. Perspective. A believer should not be walking around going, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do if so-and-so gets elected? Well, what are we going to do if he, the other one does? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do if we, oh. Too many believers are doing that. You are. You already know the story. Have you been to the back of the book? Maybe it's time you left Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and cruised on over to the book of Revelation. All right? It's going to get worse. But are you ready? We win. Oh, come on now. We win! We win! All right? It's going to get worse, but we win. It's important. Here's another thing you better understand quickly. The devil is your enemy. He is your enemy. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians that he has schemes. He has plots. He comes against us. So don't think he doesn't care about your family your marriage, your children, your church, your neighborhood, or your community. He's our enemy. He is our enemy. And he is scheming against us. And his goal is one of two things. A takeout or a sit down. He'll take either one. Don't care or quit. He'll be happy with either. He can't get your soul if you're a believer in him. But I can tell you what, if he can get us to quit, he's got one light that just went dimmer. Oh, that's good. We got rid of them. Who else can we get rid of tonight? Who else can we overwhelm? Who else can we shake their faith? So it's important we know the world's broken, and it's important you know that we have an enemy. It's not your husband. It's not the guy you work with. It's not the lady that you work with. It's the devil. He is the enemy. And this is the third thing it's important you know. We are fighting a spiritual battle every day for our lives, and we need to be prepared. The battle's real, people. The battle's real. I was in the Dominican Republic a couple years ago, and one of the ministries that we partner with rescues prostitutes off the street. And so these ladies, these wonderful ladies at this church, they have a ministry, and we go out on the street because that's where they are. And so one night we were on the street, and we were talking to the women, and we were trying to share with them. And my friend Allie, who leads this ministry and does this all the time, she said, "We got to get off the street." I said, "We do?" She said, "Yeah. Can you feel it? It's just really dark right now." She said, "It's really evil right now. We have got to get off the street." And I said, "Okay." And so our team, we said our goodbyes and we got off the street. Because I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes it's so real. The warfare is so real. You can feel it. And you can sense it. And you can understand this is not a game. Oh, women, hear me. This is not a game. Church is not a social event. Reading your Bible is not checking off a list. Prayer is not optional. Prayer is survival. Prayer is warfare. And so, as we understand this, I want you to listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or not fleshly, okay? He's saying they're not human, all right? Help us understand. "But mighty through God till the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about a spiritual war. He says, we're in the flesh, but our fight is not of the flesh. Our fight is of the Spirit. Our fight is this warfare that is going on in the spiritual realm. But what does he say? And I love this. If you underline, if you circle, if you mark, this is your moment to mark and circle. "But mighty through God." I'm going to tell you who fights our battles. God does. God does. He's mighty to save. He's our strong tower. He's the place that we go to. He's the place that we... He is our shield. He's the one who fights in us and through us, or we don't win. And we're going to unpack that as we go through the week. But it's ironic to me that as Paul is talking about this, he says it's mighty through God. He's talking about spiritual warfare to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Now, so we understand that our weapons, okay, are mighty in God. All right, these are our weapons and they're mighty in God. He hasn't told us yet what they are. But we know they're mighty in God. And now he says these weapons are so strong, they pull down strongholds. Okay, now I want to make sure we understand what a stronghold is, because this is important. It is a military term for a fortified place. It's where we get our word fort from. It is this that is place. And many times in a city, even a walled city, there would be a place where if they breached the wall, everybody would retreat to the stronghold. And everybody would get inside the stronghold. And these soldiers would fight from there, inside the stronghold. It was the last bastion of defense. It was the last place. And here's what you knew if you were fighting. If you took the stronghold, you won. If you took the stronghold, you won. And so the Apostle Paul here is writing, and he uses this picture for us. He uses these words to paint a picture for us so that we can understand what he's trying to see. And he's painting this picture of the spiritual warfare. And he says that the weapons that we have through Christ Jesus, through the power of God in our lives, will bring down the last bastion of defense. It'll bring down the stronghold. It'll bring those places down. And man, I just love this. Now, you say, well, Reba, what? That's exciting. Hang on. Because look at verse 5. Now, this is not a new book, all right, of the Bible. He did not sign off, love Paul, and start something different. This is right in context. This is flowing. Look what he says. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know what he immediately goes to? How we think. Now tomorrow, we're going to really unpack this in a deeper way. But tonight, I want to take us there for just a second. And here's the thing I want to ask you. Is your thinking right? Is your thinking right? Paul is going to tell us that he uses words like the last bastion of defense, the stronghold. And what does he talk about? He's in this context, he talks about the ability to cast down every, and he uses this word, imaginations. All right. Now, when I looked this word up, I thought this was very interesting. It's actually the word for speculation or for reasonings. And there's an action idea to this. So I want to try to paint this picture so you understand. This imagination is something that we think that eventually becomes something that we do. You with me? It's something that I think that eventually will become something that I do. It's a thought that's entertained, mulled over, meditated on, considered, flipped, Rubik's cubed, and acted upon. And how many times do we know that Scripture teaches us that isn't that where so much of our wrongdoing starts? It starts with a thought. It starts with a thought. It's the place where many of us have drifted. We just don't think a lot about how we think. And we need to. Okay? We need to. Because what does he say? He says, take every thought captive. Every thought captive. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, so hang on. First of all, he tells us to cast down these imaginations, but also, he also goes on to say, and every high thing that exalteth itself. Now, this is easy for us to understand. If we have thoughts in our mind that are exalting themselves, guess what? That's pride. That's pride. That is the idea that I assume that I know more than God knows about a certain issue, or I can handle this without Him. Now, I know y'all are sitting here going, well, she must have not realized where she's at. We're at Prayer Advance. We are Christian women right here tonight. Surely, no one in here would ever dream of thinking that I know more than God. Well, listen to yourselves pray sometimes. Dear Lord, I have a problem. Here's how you should solve it. Option A, option B, And here's C. Come on. Am I telling you the truth? See, we may not say that our ways are higher than His ways, but sometimes we sure do pray like they are, and sometimes we act like they are, and sometimes we, in our own imaginations, and in our own thoughts, and in our own processing, do you know what we come up with? This is not fair. How in the world could God let me go through this? That's not fair. Do you know what you're really saying when you say that? God doesn't know what He's doing. If God knew what He was doing, He'd have done something different. But obviously, I know more than Him because I could have told Him this wasn't going to work. And when we do that, we're lifting ourselves up in pride before a holy God. And honestly, I know we laugh, but as we think about it in its seriousness, we ought to weep. We ought to weep. No wonder. No wonder we struggle and we drift. No wonder we just go through motions. And it takes something like this to shake us from our foundation and wake us up. No wonder. Jesus is coming again. But until He comes, there is a job for us to do. There is a job. And so we're gonna go deeper into this tomorrow. So I'm not gonna go a little bit any more into it tonight. But I want to set the groundwork. I want to begin to just get our soil tilled up just a little bit tonight. And I want us to think, what is your thinking like when it comes to your relationship and your walk with God? Are you like Paul is talking about here? Are you taking every thought captive? Are you controlling what you're thinking? Are you recognizing it to be a lie? Are you dealing with it? Are you casting it down? Paul says it's like a prisoner of war. He says taking every thought captive. It's like a prisoner of war. He considered thoughts that would go in this way an enemy of God. And we take them captive. Do we take it that seriously? Or do we say things like, well, that's just my personality. My mama was this way. My daddy's this way. My grandma and all my cousins, we're all like this. Do we say that? Or do we say, God, help me. I'm wrong. And you need to get my thinking right. Because I'm going to tell you the battle starts right here. For so many of us, the battle starts right here. Right here, in the way we think. Now, if you flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, not too far away from where you're at right now, we see Paul again writing to the church in Ephesus. And again, he's going to talk about the battle. And in verse 10, he's going to say, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Does that sound familiar? 2 Corinthians 10, right? Do you hear the echoes of those wordings to be similar to each other? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, some of your church girls, y'all know these verses. Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles, there's that word, schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not, does this sound familiar? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Do you think he's making a point? He wants us to stand. And so he says, get armed with the armor of God. I want to ask you, are you ready for battle? I know you know these verses if you grew up in church, but I'm not asking you if you know the passage. I'm not asking you if you can quote it. I'm asking you if you're living it. Do you take the battle so seriously that every day you get up and get armed? Because you understand this world is broken and the devil is the enemy. And there's war out here. Or do we just like, woohoo, we live in America. Land of the free, home of the brave. All right. We live in America. We get to do this. Hey, I'm going to tell you, spend some time with the underground churches Lisa and I've had the privilege of doing. And you understand, those people get up every day and get armed. Why? Because they know the war they're battling with. It could come to our back door. I pray it never does. But it could. And if it does, will you stand? Paul says, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins. And these are the verses we know, having your loins girded with truth. And I wish we could break all these down. It's not where we're going for right now. But if you haven't studied this in a while, I encourage you to go study it. Having your loins girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He didn't say, just in case he shoots at you. We've got a limited number of shields, so only those who know you're being shot at take one. Listen, every woman in this room needs to pick up their shield of faith. And you can't have faith if you don't know who your faith is in. See, there's a world that's got faith mixed up, and they talk about how much you got. You can have all the faith in the world, and you put it in the wrong thing, it does you no good. Our faith, it matters who it's in. And then Jesus said, if you have the size of a mustard seed, that's a fleck of pepper. One, you can move mountains. Because you see, God we serve is the one who's mighty. He's the one who moves mountains. I just get to tag along. I just get to be a part of the battle. And that allows me to be a part of the victory. And I want victory in my life. I don't know about you. But he tells this man, take up the shield of faith. And you'll be able to quench the fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation. And everything else has been for protective up to this point. Now you ready? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what it looks like every day in our lives. You see, you know why we don't value this book? Because we don't realize it's our sword. And the reason you don't realize it's your sword is because you don't even know you're in a battle. You just think you're having a bad day. It's not a bad day. It's not a bad week. It's not a bad month. It's not a bad... I've heard people, 2020, it's the apocalypse, right? You know, we've had bees. We've had hornets that are killer. We've had this. We've had that. We've had, this. Now we got this. What's next? Christians, take up your sword. Take up your sword. This should never be a book that lays on a shelf until Sunday rolls around. This is how you... But it's not the only thing we fight with. And this is how I'll close. And tomorrow we'll pick up and we're just gonna open this thing all up. Tonight was just a taste to get us excited about where we're going. But I want you to look what else he says. Praying always. Now I know what you're dying to know, right? Well, Reba, what does that mean in the Greek? Because surely it don't mean always. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what it means. And this is going to help us. I'm always cognizant that the world is broken, the devil is my enemy, and the spiritual warfare is around me. I take this sword because I know it's the only way I can fight my battles. And I stay in a spirit of prayer with God. Do I walk around all the time going, and Lord help, and Lord, and then Lord, and then Lord, and then Lord? No. But you know what? I'm in that spirit. Talk to me, Lord. Lord, help me. Show me what to do, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Strengthen me right now. Lord, let your name... What a herald. Oh, man, it was so good. I hope y'all didn't miss that. That was so good. I could have just not even gotten up here. We could have been done. You could have went back and got in your car, and you'd have had enough if you just get that right there and walk with it. I'm just going to tell you. Do you understand? Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come. See, we're so selfish. Lord, no pain, no problems, please, sir. Pain and problems come? Well, that's not fair. I bake cookies for church. I serve in the nursery. I do Awanas. You can't let sorrows come my way. You can't let heartache come my way. Oh, dear saint of God, read your Bible. If you follow me, persecution, suffering, it's a part of the journey. Why? Because we live in a broken world. And the devil is our enemy, and there's this battle going on. See why you got to know that? Because that helps us get every... Oh, it's coming in now. Anybody ever played with a manual focus on your camera? Ooh, oh, 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 there it is. There it is. Some of us desperately tonight need to dial it in. We've been drifting. We've got complacent. We forgot Jesus was coming. We forgot that America could be impacted. We think we're going up in the rapture, and before the rapture comes, we'll have no problems. And if we do, the Lord needs to do something about that right away, because we don't want to be uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you, church, that doesn't look like anybody I see in here. I'm sorry, but it doesn't. So you know what I want us to do tonight? Prayer is not something... you get to, if you get to. Prayer is something you got to. See, I don't even know what the battle plan is. I don't even know who I'm most fight. What enemies come in my direction today? But Jesus does. You know, when you look at it through those lenses, you appreciate songs like "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Oh, Lord, draw me near. Why? Because you understand it. You get it. This, and I have 6 knee surgeries, so I won't do this well. So I might not go down because we might take 4 of y'all to help me back up. But I'm going to tell you how we fight on our knees with swords drawn. That's how we fight. And I don't mean literally on our knees. But I'm talking about in that attitude and spirit of prayer, taking every thought captive, letting the Holy Spirit do His work in our lives. So here's what I want to ask you. Before we talk about more than conquerors tomorrow, are you even in a battle? Do you even have a clue there's one going on? Where are you with Jesus? And so this is how I just want to take a moment. And I'm going to let the, where I don't know where she's at, but somebody can come play the piano. That'd be great. Not just anybody now, okay? We want, we actually want somebody who can actually play. But as she comes, I just want us to take, just as she plays through, maybe just a verse or something, I'll let you pick, whatever. But here's what I want us to do. If God, if you need to come here, you're fine. You need somebody to pray with you? That's what we're here for. But I want us to take just a moment, and I want us to do business with God so we're ready to do business tomorrow. Because some of y'all just came because a friend talked you into it. You thought it'd be cool to be a COVID rebel. Whatever you came for, I don't know. But here's what I'm going to tell you right now. We're here because the battle's real. The world's broken. And we are the light. We are the city set upon a hill. That's at least what we're supposed to be. So as she plays, if you just go with God right there in your seat. You want somebody to pray with you. You want to come find a spot. I'm just going to let the Lord just lead you as He leads you. But oh, man, it's time we got serious about this. If you need someone to pray with you, all you need to do is get my attention and we'll find somebody to pray with you. Oh, it's time we got serious, ladies. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us right now in this place. Remind us of who You are and who we are. We are Your people, the sheep of Your pasture, and You are a shepherd. You are a strong tower. You are mighty to save. You are King of kings and You are Lord of lords. You're holy. You're worthy. You're the lamb that was slain. But oh Lord, You're the soon coming King. Lord, forgive us where we've forgotten who we serve. Where we've drifted in complacency about what You've done. We've forgotten there's a battle. We've forgotten You're returning. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, show us where our thinking has gone wrong. Begin right now to prepare us for the battle that is already raging around us. And Lord, tomorrow as we go into Romans 8, Your word, and as we look at some of the most encouraging passage in all of Scripture, may we look at it in the light of 2 Corinthians 10 and Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, may we realize You're not just mighty to save us from the battle, You're mighty to save us through the battle. So Lord, raise up warriors. Raise up warriors tonight. Arm us, Lord. Teach us what it looks like to use our sword. And help us to realize, Father, that without You, we can do nothing. But You, You've overcome the world. Let us never forget. Help us to stand, Father. In Your good name I pray.